Mini episode 282 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
This is Rick Morris and Ben Hsu, FDH Lounge dignitaries here for FDH Lounge. Mini episode number 282, we are breaking down the NFL Top 32 list for FDH. We do this every summer, and this is the first year we've actually made show segments into this. This is the fourth of our four ones that we're doing for the program. Previously, FDH Lounge dignitary Steve Callis evaluated our MLB Top 30 list. Russ Cohen, another dignitary, broke down our NHL Top 30 list, and Ben was on previously for our NBA Top 30 list. The NFL goes 32 deep. Why? Just because we're doing this as an average of one player per team, going through just trying to do annual rankings, not necessarily fantasy-based, but the stats are going to come into play with this. Just an overall bird's-eye assessment of the top players in the league at a given point in time. And before we look at this, now the football one is in two tiers. Some of the other ones were in more tiers, but my sense was that there tended to be more kind of grouping up, and ultimately it's the final call going to me as far as the rankings for the FDH list here. Football, in my mind, might be the toughest one to do because there's more positions than in other sports. There's more players on the floor or court or field or ice or what have you than in other sports. And again, the criteria when you're looking at the apples versus oranges of what players at different positions are doing, again, for my money, and the NFL might be the toughest one to do. We'll start. We're going to do the evaluation here with Ben. I'm going to run through the players who dropped off of our list from last year. Some of these were tough calls. Some of these were not. Matt Stafford, I would say, was kind of a tough call. I'll give you the list here and where they placed last year. The list goes as follows. Jared Allen, who was eighth last year. Larry Fitzgerald, who was 10th. Julius Peppers, 13th. Andre Johnson, 14th. Matt Stafford, 15th. Troy Polamalu, 16th. Jimmy Graham, 17th. LeSean McCoy, 19th. Maurice Jones-Drew, 23rd. Nick Mangold, 25th. Joy Freeney, 26, Eric Weddle, 29, Mike Wallace, 30, Vince Wilfork, 31. So it's awfully tough to do the cutoff at 32 and decide who's above the line, who's below the line. But any of those really jump out at you and really seem noteworthy, Ben?
I think in terms if we're talking noteworthy, I'm just looking overall at the list. Like, you have a lot of premier players who just happen to have just, you know, off season. I mean, Jared Allen tore it up the year before, and just, you know, he was pretty, to be fair to him, I've had a very pedestrian year. I agree with you regarding Matt Stafford. I think he had a fine season this year, and it's just, I think he got lost in the shuffle of the rookie quarterback class, and it feels at time that he's getting the benefit of the doubt because he has a guy like Calvin Johnson on his team who can go up and make plays for him on a consistent basis. And in terms of if we shift over to defense, I think there you can make an argument that at times Troy Polamalu for Pittsburgh is still a premier player when he's healthy. And let's be honest, at times the way that his career has gone, I'm surprised he even is healthy at periods of time. And, you know, you can make arguments that guys like Andre Johnson and Maurice Jones-Drew and Mike Wallace had all good seasons, but they just weren't good enough to crack it onto the top 32.
Well, he's moving into the phase of his career, Polamalu, like Joe Mauer, where he risks being better known for his shampoo commercials than anything on the field. Albeit, Mauer's had a pretty good first half, but after a couple of seasons that have not really gone to his standards. Taking a look at the second tier of players, we'll just kind of count our way back in terms of evaluating this. It goes from 32 to 26. So I'm going to give you the player and where they placed last year. And the first three players that I name, of course, weren't on the list a year ago. 32, Russell Wilson, 31, Colin Kaepernick, 30, Andrew Luck, 29, Rob Gronkowski, he was ninth last year, 28, Chris Johnson, down from 25th, 27, Eli Manning, down from 12th, and 26, Ben Roethlisberger, down from 18th. So that constitutes the second tier of the FDH top 32, Ben.
And, I mean, in the second tier, you have it's going to be interesting for years to come, especially with the three rookie quarterbacks in the section on this list. And there, you can make an argument for all of them to be switched around in different periods of time. I think Russell Wilson had a better season statistically than Colin Kaepernick, but it's really tough to rank the starting quarterback for the NFC in the Super Bowl below or above anyone who had a different season. In terms of, I think, the way that it's structured right now with Luck at 30, Kaepernick at 31, and Wilson at 32. And I think in terms of these rankings, it's at least based on talent they had around him. And it was clearly obvious that last season, Seattle and Russell Wilson, he had the most talent of all the rookie quarterbacks. He had a fantastic year, but he had guys like Marshawn Lynch. He had guys like Zach Miller, had guys like Sidney Rice, and that Seattle defense was amazing. And Kaepernick, he himself had guys like Vernon Davis, Frank Gore, Randy Moss, Michael Crabtree. And it feels like at times that Luck is getting the bump because he essentially had Reggie Wayne and a cornucopia of players that no one's either heard of or have had disappointing seasons over the last couple of years.
I think that's a pretty good explanation. And he came in certainly pretty polished and pretty pro-ready and really lived up to that in his initial year in the pros. And as I've heard commented on by many NFL analysts accurately, being asked to make downfield throws way more than rookies generally are trusted to do. So, but yeah, this list, the only real criteria I should note is if you're starting a team, let's say the season is going to start tomorrow and you got a 16-game schedule ahead of you, that's kind of how we do this with all the different sports.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit different because in baseball, we're doing the list in the middle of the season. So it's a little bit harder to imagine a season starting in June or July when the list comes out. It's a little bit easier for NFL or NBA or NHL because the next seasons haven't started yet when we're doing this list. But if the season were starting today, and again, the season will be starting soon enough, that is to be sure. The first tier of this, let's take it in pieces. Let's go from 25 back to 16. 25th place, Clay Matthews, up from 32nd a year ago. 24, Joe Staley, not on the list a year ago. 23, Jason Pierre-Paul, he was 6th last year. 22nd, Earl Thomas, not on the list a year ago. Julio Jones, 21, also not on the list a year ago. Jamal Charles, 20. Of course, he had been hurt, so he was not on the list the previous year. 19, Roddy White, he was 21st a year ago. 18, A.J. Green, it's his first time on the list. 17, Ray Rice, up from 22nd. And Richard Sherman, 16th, not on the list a year ago.
And I think overall in this section of the first tier, Rick, is you have a lot of premier defenders and you have a lot of impact players on offense, especially Ray Rice's season last year for the Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens. He was just phenomenal down the stretch, and it felt that he was turning out to be the guy we all thought he was going to be at Rutgers. In terms of the one thing I like to talk about, especially with this part of the list, Rick, is that the amount of premier defensive players, it is ridiculous. You have guys like Clay Matthews out of Green Bay. You have guys like Jason Pierre-Paul out of that. You have the Seattle Twins of Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman. And I think this is going to be one of those periods of times where teams are going to try and emulate a lot of teams like Seattle and San Francisco in terms of how they play defense. And we're going to start to see a lot more guys come into the league prepared to defend the pass and deal with the offensive weapons that the NFL has to take. In terms of any arguments really with this list, I think I would say drop Jamal Charles down a bit. I thought he had a fantastic season in Kansas City, but to be brutally honest, I think a lot of his yards nearing the end of that season came a little late. They were essentially in meaningless games, and he was able to pile up good statistical numbers.
Okay, fair enough. The one thing that kind of jumped out at me also, and it's interesting for me to react to this as an observer when I'm the guy that had the final say on putting it together. But I see Julio Jones in here grouped with two wide receivers that you generally see him coupled with. A.J. Green, who he came into the league with, the two top studs at the top of the draft class a couple of years ago. They were 1-2 in anybody's imagination. Generally, most people had A.J. Green above Julio Jones. I think that's how their careers have gone thus far, but it's been pretty close. And Julio Jones also paired up in this part of the list with Roddy White. They form what is, I think, almost certainly the best wide receiver combo in the league in Atlanta. So when you talked about premier skill position players on here as well, and Ray Rice, you saw what he was able to do late in the season once Baltimore S-canned good old Cam Cameron there, and I got back to a little bit of offensive sanity and using Ray Rice a little bit more. So like you said, defense, but you're also looking at running backs, wide receivers, some of the premier offensive weapons in the league manifesting themselves in this part of the list also.
Yeah, and it seems especially you have a lot of young guys on the section of this list. So it feels to me that they're going to continue to grow and they're going to possibly be able to enter the top 10 stats. I also like to say that for all the offensive linemen out there, it's a nice little shout-out there for Joe Staley, especially when you're trying to build an organization. You always want to try to shore up the offensive line. And for him, it's very arguable that he is the best offensive guard, offensive tackle combo in the entire NFL. So it's nice to see that that when you were creating the list, you were able to add in a little bit for the offensive line.
I really tried, Ben. And, of course, again, you can look at sack totals, but unfortunately for offensive linemen, that's one of the hardest aspects of the game to quantify, how they've played. And I have to say, too, as a Browns fan, I wanted to make an argument for Joe Thomas while we were doing this. I just couldn't. I had to put Staley above him. And again, Staley was that sole part of the representation on the first tier at the offensive tackle position. Moving from 15 up to 6. At 15, it's Patrick Willis, down marginally from 11th a year ago, but, you know, really pretty close. 14, Arian Foster, up from 20th. 13, Joe Flacco, not on the list a year ago, and, of course, the months of January and February accounting almost completely for that jump. 12, DeMarcus Ware, down from 4th a year ago. 11, it's Tom Brady, down from 2nd. 10th, Darrell Revis, down from 7th a year ago. Again, that one might be a little bit controversial, but I'm looking at it if the season started today, and it looks like he's going to be just about ready to go this year. So I know he did nothing of note a year ago because of the injury. 9th place, Cameron Wake, not on the list a year ago. 8th place, Geno Atkins, also not on the list a year ago. 7th place, Drew Brees, down from 5th. And J.K. Watt making a massive jump because he was not on the list the previous year. That's the 15 to 6 part of the list here, Ben.
I mean, looking at it overall, again, you have premier talent on either side of the ball. And I think specifically, like you already mentioned, the Darrell Revis situation is going to be interesting to see how it plays out in Tampa Bay. And I expect it, to be honest, I expected him to fall a little bit farther, maybe within that 13 to 16 range. But there's still the pub that he is the best cornerback in the National Football League. And it feels that if you had to create a team today, that's probably who you'd want to start with. In terms of the 8 and 9 slot, you have Geno Atkins out of playing with the Bengals, and you have Cameron Wake playing out of Miami. And those two, I think that we seem to be the premier pass rushing talent outside of J.J. Watt at Houston in the NFL right now in terms of just pure pass rush. And it's going to be interesting to see how Geno Atkins pans out into the upcoming season, because it was his really first year of having a breakout season. Is it an aberration? Was he just lucky and had got the opportunity to get some more sacks this year for Cincinnati with their style of defense? Or was it more on the lines that he's an improved player and a player to look at for years to come? And especially, I think one guy you can make an argument to jump up a little bit further is Arian Foster. I think you could bump him up maybe one or two more slots, because he really is the top premier running back outside of another guy who headlines this list. But it seems to me that so far this section is going to be less stable than any other part of the list going into the near future.
Oh, yeah, and we're going to get to that other guy in a second here. When you look at the top five, it's actually fascinating to me, the more I think about it, that 4 and 5 can obviously be classified together. 1, 2, and 3 can be classified together. And again, by process of elimination, you probably know all of the names yet to come here. But number 5 is Von Miller, up from 27th a year ago. Number 4, Peyton Manning, not on the list a year ago because, frankly, we didn't know if his neck was going to hold up any better than a roll of dimes. Obviously, it did. The first 3 players on the list are all, how intriguing is this, from the same division, the NFC North. Mm-hmm. In third place, it's Calvin Johnson. He was third a year ago. Second place, Aaron Rodgers, first a year ago. So incredible consistency for those two. In first place, Adrian Peterson, 28th a year ago, because, again, you had to assume, all right, he'll be back at some point during the season. But he came back pretty much immediately and had one of the great seasons for a running back in NFL history. And I can say that for my one fantasy football team where I got him in the fifth round as a kind of a flyer, because we still didn't know what he was going to look like on opening day, really, really panned out well. But, yeah, Miller as the top defensive player on the list, Manning, and then Calvin Johnson as the top wide receiver, Rodgers as the top quarterback, and Peterson as the top running back. So thoughts on this very, very, very elite top five, Ben Chu?
I think in terms of the eliteness of this class is that you already have, those are already at the top of the list for everyone. I think a lot of people will be surprised by Von Miller's inclusion to the top five, but his play of his last 2 years coming out of Texas A&M, he's just been a phenomenal athlete. He has the ability to be, I think, a poor man's Lawrence Taylor. He can make tackles. He can make big plays. And it's going to be interesting. And you already touched on this a little bit in regards to Denver and Peyton Manning. So none of us had any clue if Manning would even be healthy enough to play a full season. And it really seemed that he was able to deal with whatever issues that most quarterbacks have to do with coming back from that sort of an injury he had to deal with. He passed his test with flying colors. Obviously, they had a disappointing loss in the playoffs to Baltimore. And it feels at times, especially with Denver, that if they have the window open up for another couple of years, they have a shot to make it to another Super Bowl. But in terms of just all the talent, I find it interesting that we have all this talent in the NFC North, and yet there's still a little bit of a disconnect of NFC North teams doing well in the playoffs. I think there's no question at this point, if you were trying to build a team today, you'd probably want Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. And I think at some period of time, he's going to have to get back to the strength of getting the Super Bowls and winning Super Bowls. But it's very hard to argue that. And especially with the number one name on the list, Adrian Peterson. There were a lot of people saying that Adrian Peterson was never going to be the same again after that injury he suffered in Washington a year or so ago. It was just absolutely ridiculous how he finished off the season. And he essentially lifted the Vikings into contention in the NFC North by himself. And it's really rare to see that, especially in today's NFL.
The way that he really asserted himself as a franchise-level player going in there was absolutely just astounding and really kind of inspiring and many other terms that you'd like to apply to that. As far as Von Miller, I've heard the comparisons before to Lawrence Taylor, and they seem to be very well-founded 2 years into the league. Hopefully he can avoid the off-the-field issues, and so far it looks like they're like night and day personally, so looks like you don't have to worry about that. I do wonder if he's that similar to Lawrence Taylor. Are we going to be seeing him at WrestleMania 41, perhaps against Brodus Clay? That would be kind of interesting.
That would be interesting. I'd like to see that. I don't really know. And I think maybe the only difference between Von Miller and Lawrence Taylor on the field, essentially, they're the same player. But off the field, Von Miller just wears more stylish glasses than Lawrence Taylor did. So,
yes.
That's pretty much it at that point.
Fashion is different in the 2010s than it was in the 1980s, so we have to account for that. But any closing thoughts on the list, Ben?
I think overall the list was pretty solid, but I have a sinking suspicion that those three rookie quarterbacks at the end of that class are going to be shifting up into the 10s and 20s. And I think we're going to see next year, because I want to see how Adrian Peterson's going to play, because I still personally think the best all-around back in the NFL is Arian Foster. And it's going to be interesting to see, especially with a lot of these teams with premier talent, how everything's going to pan out for them in the near future, because the NFL, I think, in periods of time, this is arguably the most wide-open field for trying to get into the playoffs that we've seen at least since the early 2000s. So there are plenty of guys who are going to fall off, and do jumping jacks on this list, but it seems that if you were to give this to any NFL fan, I don't think they would see a lot of issues with this.
we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.